Hello, my name is Anthony Patch and this is Pulse. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2024, and news coming out overnight out of the Middle East. Israel has killed two Middle East leaders, specifically the number two commander of Hezbollah, Fuad Shukr has been killed in southern Lebanon, in the southern suburb of Beirut. The second leader, a political leader for Hamas, was killed in Tehran while attending the inauguration of Iran's new president. This was Ismail Haniyeh. He apparently was staying in the IRGC guest house, again attending the inauguration of Iran's new president. Apparently he was killed by a rocket, possibly a missile, a rocket apparently, according to local reports, that struck the guest house residence in Tehran. And this is notable that it was in Tehran. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in the suburbs of the Beirut capital of Beirut, Fuad Shukr was killed, the number two commander for Hezbollah. There were also in the southern suburb of Haret Harik, three people were killed and 74 people were wounded. This apparently in Beirut was a drone strike by Israel, launching three rockets into an apartment building adjacent to a local hospital. Give you some perspective, the number two Hezbollah commander, Fuad Shukr, Israel has blamed as responsible, identified him as responsible for this soccer field attack in which it appears now 16 children were killed by a rocket. Now, this has not been clarified, let me put it that way, as to who is responsible for the soccer field killing. My estimation, based upon just the information, the limited information that I have, my assessment of it is that Hezbollah had stated earlier in the earliest reports that they were targeting IDF barracks located in that vicinity of the soccer field, and that apparently an Iron Dome missile intercepted a Hezbollah rocket or missile that was directed at Israeli IDF barracks, but in the interception, apparently it was deflected, it was knocked out of off course, and unfortunately landed in this soccer field. That's my best assessment of it, and thus perhaps explaining why Hezbollah, for its part, has denied responsibility for specifically targeting the soccer field. Again, earliest reports indicated from Hezbollah that they were targeting IDF military barracks. So at least that's what I'm able to report at this point. Of course, the Hamas political leader that was killed in Tehran, Ismail Haniyeh, Israel is holding responsible for the conflict in Gaza. So this, the perspective on this killing, this assassination, is that any perception of a ceasefire, negotiations for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza is over now. Hamas has already stated that there will be no negotiations with Israel following this assassination. So that lends some perspective to the significance of these two assassinations that have taken place. Iran, where, of course, Tehran is the capital of, Iran, for its part, has called an emergency meeting overnight by its Supreme National Security Council. They have already stated there will be a reprisal against Israel on the part of Tehran itself. We all understand that Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran, as are Hamas and the Houthis in Yemen. The Houthis, for their part, have also overnight stated that they will retaliate in force against Israel from the south. So to put it in a picture for you here, we now have Tehran to the far east coming against Israel, Hezbollah from the north, Hamas from Gaza, and the Houthis from Yemen to the south. I'd like to add to that picture what is not being widely reported on are the preparations by the Egyptian army. Egypt is preparing to enter Gaza. Politically speaking, Egypt has made it very clear since the conflicts began back in October 7th, the conflict being escalated between Israel and Hamas, that for its part, Egypt does not want anything to do with the Palestinians, the refugees, fleeing, attempting to flee out of Gaza, attempting to cross the border between Gaza and Egypt. I view the escalation, the preparation, military preparation by Egypt as their plan, their attempt to prevent the Palestinians from entering as refugees into Egypt itself, thus crossing into Israel in order to bring a ceasefire on the part of Israel and Hamas. A military broking of a ceasefire, as I read it, as I read the statements coming out of Egypt. It's a military attempt at a ceasefire. I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think that there's going to be any ceasefire. As I will explain further, this is nothing more than continued escalation of the conflicts. But I wanted to share with you the intent on the part of Egypt that's not being widely reported is to actually come against the Palestinians, not so much in the manner of killing Palestinians, but more to prevent the fleeing of Palestinians out of Gaza into Egypt, because they do not want the burden of having to take care of and protect refugees. So anyway, that's just a little extra perspective. So we have the Israel now compassed by her enemies. I'd like to go to the north, to Turkey, for a moment. Over the last several days, Erdogan, and we've reported it here, Erdogan, the president, the leader of Turkey, has stated that he will enter, his military will actually enter Israel. Now, whether that will be followed through with on his part, whether that's just some posturing and bluffing on his part to actually enter Israel, what I think we can appreciate by his statement and what his immediate intentions will be are to enter Lebanon in defense of Hezbollah. This is something that he has stated in addition to the statement of actually physically entering Israel. I think any entry into Israel is strictly a follow-on event that would follow the entry into Lebanon in defense of Hezbollah. So in the near term, I would expect Turkey to provide military support within the borders of Lebanon following this assassination of the number two commander of Hezbollah, Fuad Shukr. this definitely escalates events. Israel has stated all along, especially since October 7th, that it will specifically, utilizing intelligence information developed by Mossad and probably by U.S. intel as well, and British intel, that Mossad would direct the IDF in targeted assassinations by Mossad and the IDF, targeted assassinations of leaders of those countries and organizations that Israel considers to be an enemy of the Israeli state. So these are selective, as we have seen already, not just overnight, but historically, selected assassinations targeting killing of leaders. I think for the most part, from my assessment, this targeting of individuals by Israel will come to a halt. The reason I say that is events across the Middle East through the Axis countries, if you will, as even Iran has characterized the allies of Iran, proxies of Iran, as Axis, and this is how Israel characterizes the countries that compass Israel, Axis. The escalation of these Axis countries against Israel and Israel against them is such that it does not really afford the opportunity for individual targeting of leaders and subordinate leaders of any of these Axis countries. This leads to a wider conflict, and this will escalate very rapidly. This is not going to be a slow, progressive migration of, you know, ground-based war. This isn't the maneuvering of tanks and armored vehicles and infantry across Iraq and Iran. I mean, the logistics deny Israel the opportunity and the United States the opportunity for strictly a ground-based, boots-on-the-ground sort of warfare. This will be primarily aircraft, rockets, and missiles. For its part, IDF, as you know, is severely weakened due to its ongoing conflict in the Gaza. Therefore, the use of drones, rockets, missiles, aircraft will be the predominant weapons of war. But nonetheless, there will be boots on the ground, especially in Lebanon, southern Lebanon, but to a limited degree, because Israel and the United States really do not have the capacity for a ground-based war. Now, a ground-based war, any war, cannot be won strictly by air assets. Therefore, my expectation is, for whatever it's worth, my expectation is that there is going to be a dramatic escalation, and I'll get to that in just a moment as I finish out the reporting on these two assassinations. I'll get to that in just a second. So what we have here is a situation where Iran's president, for his part, who was just sworn in the inauguration, is vowing, of course, vowing revenge. And the supreme leader, Khamenei, is avenging the killing, is declaring revenge against Israel. So this is the supreme religious leader, if you will, Khamenei, stating this, with the political leader, the president, vowing revenge. So there has been the blessing, if you will, on the part of both leaders for really revenge in terms of, I would expect, missiles, rockets, and drones on the part of Iran as the initial response. But this will quickly escalate due to the compassing, the surrounding of Israel by all of its enemies. This will be a coordinated, after an initial air response by Iran, which is what I expect. From that initial air response, as we saw in April by Iranian military forces, the IRGC, there will be a coordinated, perhaps in a week, but not much longer, a coordinated strike from the north by Hezbollah. Certainly, Hamas has already demonstrated that this is now a full on outright war on the part of Hamas against Israel. So ramping up from the Gaza itself. And of course, 2 weeks ago, the Houthis in Yemen declared that they were already declaring all-out war against Israel. So this will be a coordinated attack by ground, air, missile, drones, and rockets on the part of Israel's enemies. Israel, of course, has to respond to this, but responding with a very weakened IDF. Now, they do have the missiles and the rockets. They do have limited numbers of aircraft, but certainly large numbers of rockets and missiles, intermediate range and longer range missiles that it can use in this escalating conflict. I'll get to the other weapon system that Netanyahu indicated, stated, not by name, but reading between the lines, twice repeatedly stated in his recent address to the U.S. Congress of what the U.S. and Israel have developed. And that's where things are headed. Israel overnight has claimed that it will not seek, it will not engage in an all-out war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. But as I read events and the capabilities of the IDF, I don't think Israel has any choice but to engage in all-out war with Hezbollah. Neither side is innocent. Both sides are provoking. Certainly Iran is provoking Israel, but certainly Israel is provoking Iran and its proxies. There are no innocents in what is taking place in the Middle East. There are no innocents in this. So Israel trying to paint a picture of they are the victims, whether it's Golan and claiming that the Arabs that were killed were Israelis, maybe in terms of citizenship, but these are still Arabs. The Golan Heights do not belong to Israel. Israel claims that it has annexed the Syrian Golan Heights, but the international community, international law, even the UN declare, and it's written into law, the denying of the Golan to Israel, that in written law, international law, international agreements, the Golan still belongs to Syria. So Israel trying to claim that this was a strike against Israel, against Israelis, against the Jewish people, is completely false. It's not their territory, and these were Arabs that were killed. And as I said earlier, it appears to be an accident. It appears to be an interception of a missile or a rocket on the part of the IDF's Iron Dome, and unfortunately, there was a deflection and interception of this missile, as I read the events from a distance, that resulted in the horrible, tragic deaths of these children, 16 of them. But nonetheless, Israel is capitalizing and utilizing this as painting a picture of Israel being the victim. And as the victim, as they have done with October 7th, they feel that they have the legitimate right to strike back, exact revenge, to engage in military warfare against those that have struck Israel. I think it's pretty obvious. Most people here, I think, already understand this dynamic of victimhood on the part of Israel. I'm only reporting. I'm not taking sides. I'm not pro or against Israel or any of the other associated countries. That's not my position here. I'm trying to do the best to provide an accurate sense of the events and what's going on and my personal expectations of how things will advance from this point. But for its part, Iran's president and religious leader, supreme religious leader has vowed revenge against Israel. So certainly things are going to escalate. In the West Bank in Israel, there are now reports this morning of individuals attacking Israelis, Palestinians in the West Bank attacking Israelis in revenge for the attack against the Hamas leader, the killing of the Hamas political leader, Ismail Haniyeh. Hezbollah, the leader, the number one leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, has indicated that if they are to escalate, that they will be targeting, this was said even yesterday prior to these assassinations, Nasrallah has said that they are targeting Haifa and Tel Aviv. Now, Israel has stated, again, overnight, Israel finally has said that if Nasrallah, the Hezbollah leader, does attack their forces against Haifa and Tel Aviv, that Israel will respond, will escalate in a major fashion against Hezbollah. So, to pay attention to see if this escalates specifically to Haifa, the northern port city of Haifa, near the Lebanese border, and certainly Tel Aviv. If these are struck by Hezbollah, then this will force Israel to further escalate against not only Hezbollah, but because they are compassed, they will need to strike simultaneously against Tehran, Iran, possibly now the West Bank, certainly continue in Gaza, and direct towards Yemen. And if Turkey enters Lebanon, Israel's going to have to deal with those forces as well as the Hezbollah forces in Lebanon. And the Lebanese, to a certain extent, have some military forces of their own apart from Hezbollah. And don't forget about Egypt to the south, that if they take advantage of the situation and try to enter Gaza for their own purposes, but also to strike against Israel itself, Israel's going to have its hands full, to put it mildly. Let me add another geographical dimension to this compassing of Israel. Again, very seldom is this even reported. We need to consider the island of Cyprus. This is in the Mediterranean, off the coast of Israel, directly off the coast of Syria and Lebanon. Cyprus, as I'm sure you know by now, because we've been reporting it here, the last couple of Pulse videos, Cyprus has been divided north and south, roughly speaking, north and south, divided across the midsection by a demilitarized zone that is patrolled, that is held, that is occupied by UN peacekeeping forces. To the south are the Greek Cypriots, to the north, Turkey. Cyprus is essentially an unsinkable aircraft carrier. The IDF Air Force already has placed aircraft on southern Cypress, Greek Cypriot-controlled Cyprus, to protect those aircraft from attack by Hezbollah out of Lebanon. Nasrallah has already warned Israel not to maintain aircraft on Cyprus, otherwise he will launch missiles from Lebanon against southern Cyprus. Now, to my knowledge, there are remaining Israeli Air Force aircraft on southern Cyprus. Again, functioning much like an aircraft carrier. To the north, Turkey has some limited military forces, but still has control of the northern half of the island of Cyprus, therefore can very easily deliver aircraft to northern Cyprus, which it can use to strike Israel with. Cyprus is interesting in its geographic and therefore militarily strategic position. It's somewhat immune to attack by Israel because they want to utilize it as an aircraft carrier. It provides a leaping off point for Turkey should it want to enter Israel. And when I say enter, I'm really talking about the entry of aircraft, not so much boots on the ground from Cyprus, but aircraft. But from the north, Turkey using its land-based access to Lebanon for boots on the ground, as well as air support from the north. This would be classified or characterized in a military strategic characterization of Cyprus and the northern entry by Turkey into Lebanon as a pincher move against Israel. This would be a two-front attack on the part of Turkey against Israel as Israel enters into Lebanon itself. Now, to add to the dynamics in Cyprus, at the southern tip of Cyprus, authorized by the Greek Cypriots because they control that portion of the island, Russia maintains an air base as well as a naval port on Cyprus. Russia and Turkey are very much allies at this point, even though Turkey is still a member of NATO. Remember, over 2 years ago, Turkey took delivery of S-300 and S-400 Russian anti-aircraft missile systems. Anti-aircraft systems, S-300 and 400, were purchased by Turkey from Russia. Erdogan has already made it clear that he intends to join BRICS with Russia, China, etc. So it's conceivable, going back to Cyprus, that Russia could bring additional assets, air assets, to its air base and additional naval assets and missile assets into Greek Cypriot-controlled Cyprus. The Greeks are not in a position to deny this activity that I'm expecting on the part of Russia. So now when we talk about compassing Israel, we have not only Turkey on Cyprus, but we have the Russians, who are really allies of Turkey. The Greeks won't have much to say about this. This will be a full occupation of Cyprus. Nasrallah, the Hezbollah leader, does not need to direct missiles at southern Cyprus. No need. Because now his allies, Turkey and Russia, will be able to utilize an unsinkable aircraft carrier to support Nasrallah and his Hezbollah forces against Israel. So I'm trying to give you a broader perspective of the issue as related to Israel and really what seems to be and again, I'm not trying to take a position here, but to characterize the attitude and the actions of Israel, and let's say specifically Netanyahu and really his very reduced cabinet, his war cabinet, which consists of three individuals at this point, all three of which are very hawkish, very pro-war individuals. This is insane. Obviously, Israel is outgunned and outmanned and economically doesn't have a basis for a war of attrition. Economically, they cannot afford this. This takes us back to Netanyahu's address before Congress, in which he received some 58 standing ovations by Congress, members of Congress. There were over 100 that boycotted the address, most of them being Democrats, I think one or two Republicans. Nonetheless, he received approval for support of the U.S. supporting military actions. They call it the defense of Israel, but offensive actions on the part of Israel against its enemies. So this is drawing the United States into this Middle East conflict. Thus, the United States finds itself staring down the barrel of Turkey, Russia, Iran, and then, of course, the proxies of Iran. So this brings me to my concluding expectation for today's Pulse. And again, I encourage you to go to anthonypatch.com, subscribe to our live streams where this is a private live stream in which I'm able to elaborate in greater detail things that I'm not at liberty to share on YouTube because we abide by the community standards, the guidelines of YouTube, so we restrict what we say here, but we have a private live stream that allows us freedom of speech in which I can give you more detailed explanation politically, militarily, weapons, systems, things like that. Nothing that, you know, is secret, nothing that I'm an expert in, just simply, again, extending the detailed reporting that I don't feel comfortable presenting here on YouTube. So anthonypatch.com, please subscribe to our live streams. You'll have access to over 850 two-hour live streams, years of live streams, as well as the archives to our monthly magazine entitled Entangled Magazine, where we present very detailed scientific presentations on biology, quantum mechanics, biologically speaking, genetics, regarding genetic vaccines. Again, I have to be careful what I say here. Science in general, quantum mechanics, particle physics, quantum computing, classical computing, particle physics, quantum mechanics, CERN, the particle collider. I mean, a whole host of scientific topics that we go through, as well as economic. We look at the economic situation much like we look at the military situations. We do a detailed analysis and provide expectations of trending in economics on a global basis and individual country basis and regional basis. Certainly BRICS is detailed in Entangled Magazine, and the magazine is the greater detail of information beyond even the live stream details that we provide. Okay, so the two work together, but that begins with subscribing through anthonypatch.com to our live streams. Again, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, each of those days we present, Kathleen and myself, my wife and I present two-hour live streams three times a week, each week. And we have for several years now, since 2018, and over 850 two-hour live streams in the archives that you have full access to. All right, so on the magazine Entangled, we began publishing in June of 2017. So you have the full archives of all of that information is in addition to the live streams. So enough of that plug. Let's go to the final point here that I cannot elaborate on again, but simply to mention what Netanyahu stated in his address before Congress. And I have cited this before. He said, Israel and the United States had developed the most advanced weapons on the planet. And then he paused and repeated, the most advanced weapons on the planet. Then he said, I choose my words carefully. Reading between the lines, understanding the capabilities of Israel and the United States in terms of weapons developed by the two countries together. Obviously, he's speaking of nuclear weapons that he claims are the most advanced nuclear weapons on the planet without having used the word nuclear. Okay? I share that with you just to a limited degree, not to instill fear, but to make you aware that in this escalation, there are those weapons available to Israel. And now the U.S. has given complete support to Israel, as they claim, in the defense of Israel. If you'd like to hear more of my explanation in terms of the specific weapons, the types, the yields, the deployment, mechanisms of deployment, targets in the deployment, all those things that I can't talk about here, join us for our live streams. We will try to stay on top of these events as much as possible. We'll continue this reporting as this continues to escalate, unfortunately. I think we'll leave it at that. God bless you all.